All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, but before we get into that, it's February in Bloomington, and there's some weather on the horizon as temperatures begin to drop. It's raining outside right now, and it's going to be a little yucky tonight with a chance of snow and maybe some freezing overnight. So be careful tonight driving around town, and we'll try to give you a little bit more on that here in a little while. They're not calling for a lot of snow, talking about maybe an inch of snow, but be a little yucky tonight and maybe into the morning. So if you got kiddies going off to school in the morning too, you might want to keep an eye on that and keep an eye on our webpage about any closings or delays or that sort of thing in the morning. 333-2665 is our phone number, and talking tonight mostly IU basketball as the Hoosiers went up to Madison, Wisconsin last night to face the Badgers. The Badgers 19-2 heading into the game, a loss in the Big Ten on the road to Rutgers when they were missing Frank Kaminsky because of a concussion problem, and they lost Trayvon Jackson, their point guard, to a broken foot in the middle of that game. A very good Wisconsin team, and Indiana, to some degree at least, got their doors blown off at different times during this game. But a class Wisconsin team in Indiana missing James Blackman, who has an ankle injury that he is nursing, was not able to go last night. And the Hoosiers just not able to keep up on the defensive end. Final score was 92-78, and they made that a little prettier than it really was in the second half as Wisconsin was up 30. With about 6 minutes into the second half. And look, there's no way to pretty up that part of it. I think the question is, do they gain anything out of doing this without James Blackman? You'd like to have him and you want to have him the whole rest of the season, but do they learn anything? Does anybody get any more comfortable by having this time when he's not out there and they've got to kind of pull themselves up?
No, you got to play defense. That's the whole kit and caboodle. 92 points. I don't know if James Blackman was going to help out on that, but the Tom Crane nailed it on the head after the game. I don't know if you listened to the post game show, but Joe Fish and Eric were getting things wrapped up and waiting for Coach Crane, and hey, you guys fought hard. No, we didn't.
No,
that's not what he said. Yeah. And he wasn't real happy with the effort, and that's the problem right now. Is if you look at the Purdue game and you look at the Wisconsin game and even the first 7 minutes of the second half of the Rutgers game, you come out of the locker room three times in games that you're right in and your doors get knocked out. Only problem with Rutgers is not very good, and you had a chance to get back in the game. Remember, Rutgers led 52-45 at the under 12 timeout after Indiana led by two at halftime.
It was so real again, tight at the seven too.
Well, and that's the issue. You can do that against Rutgers. You don't have to bring it all day long at home against Rutgers, but you do have to bring it on the road. And you know Purdue's up for it. You know Wisconsin wants to be the number one seed. They haven't won a Big Ten title in when. It's been a while since they've done that. They've been pipped the last 3 or 4 years with really good basketball teams, so they've got stuff to play for. And Coach Crane's point was excellent. He goes, what did it take then? Why then did we start playing hard? And that's the whole deal. And it was great that they scored 30 points in 13 possessions and they had balanced scoring. Joe told us all about it this morning, did a great job of breaking down who did that and who did what. But as Tom Crane said, it doesn't matter when you're down 32 points. It was 76-44. And remember, at halftime, it was 44-36,
eight-point
game. Uh-huh. Decker gets a tip in at the buzzer. That didn't help anything either.
Right.
The guy at Purdue went coast-to-coast, get a bucket late at the buzzer at half. That didn't help either. But we're coming out of halftime, Indiana goes to the 14:50-something mark before scoring their first field goal, the 8-something mark before scoring their first three-pointer. What's Indiana's bread and butter? It's their offense. Mm-hmm. And as well as they shot it in the first half, they're 7-8 from the three-point line in the first half, and they're not leading the game on the road. And to come out and be whatever you want to call it. You want to call it flat. You want to call it I don't think they were disinterested. I don't think that was the key. But Wisconsin had scored 44 to start with. Wisconsin wasn't going to take their foot off the gas and say, well, let's slow this down. That's not happening. They had no problem scoring. Kaminsky and Nigel Hayes were 10 of 10 from the field for 25 points.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were going to take it off. Indiana was caught. Are we playing man? Are we playing zone? I got him. You got him. No one's got him. And shooters were left open. And Kaminsky's tough. We get that. I understand all about that. But his point was excellent. And that's what I wanted to hear from my coach was, this isn't good enough. We're not here to come back from 32 down to make things competitive.
Right.
We're here to win basketball games.
Spread.
And that's not it. They're down 50 to 20 at East Lansing. Game one of the road on the Big Ten, mm-hmm. and game 10 on the Big Ten, they're down 32 on the road. So you've got some gaps here on what makes a good team a great team and vice versa. You'd love to have Hannah Pereira, but Wisconsin's playing without their point guard. It led them to a Final Four last year.
Yep.
Let's not forget about that. Everybody's got injury problems. Michigan has no backcourt. You know what they've done? Gone, played Wisconsin two overtime at home and went two overtime at Michigan State without Caris LeVert and mm-hmm. without Derek Walton Jr. Everybody's got some kind of problems. We got that. Understood. And that's why I was pleased to hear Coach Crean say, no, this isn't happy. This isn't good.
Right.
This isn't what we're settling for, and it has to get better. And I thought that was a good message to send. Now, do you do that? How do you do it? That's the question. Where's the bench? Who are you going to bench? How are you going to get guys' attention? When are you going to sit them? When are you going to play them? Right now, they don't have those pieces to make those inroads. So you have to learn on the fly. But what we know right now is when it's really good for Indiana, it's really good. And you saw getting down 32 points, it can be really difficult to watch on the defensive end.
333-2665 is the phone number. Before we talk about the defensive ends, I think everybody watching the game saw
the
92 points. Both teams back and forth shot the ball very well. But I want to go back to a question I asked you on Monday, because until it's shown to me to not be a potential situation, I've got to ask the questions. And it didn't show up at the beginning of the game. But have teams figured out how to handle
sure.
this small lineup, and are they taking advantage of it? On the defensive end, again, I think we'll talk about that, but let's talk about the offensive side here. Colin Hartman was the one guy I thought early on. There's
knocked
no question
down two
about
threes
it.
At 8 points.
Yeah, when we're down 9-0, he's the one guy that gets us back in the game with some open shots. Credit, I mean, somebody got him the ball in an open spot. He had to make him exactly
yeah.
right.
And
so
and it goes back to a lot of things. When Indiana is good in that streak where they outscored Wisconsin 30-10, remember. Wisconsin's up 30 points. They're not playing as hard as they would if they're down two. So let's remember all that. But the point was Hartman scored 3 points the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Williams at halftime had 4 points and one rebound in a wide-open game,
right.
a game that was end-to-end. People are jumping up and down, shooting layups. There's no time to breathe or react.
I don't knock stuff over here.
But Troy, if he can't play in that end-to-end
right,
game and be a factor, that's why
exactly
Indiana fans scratch their head.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slow-down, methodical in your face, hold, tug, push,
no,
and shove.
That's not
it
this
was
Wisconsin
a track
team.
Meet, and Williams yep. still couldn't get involved in the game because yep. he's a 19-year-old sophomore. Colin Hartman's a 19-year-old sophomore. Yogi Ferrell shot 4-15 on the road. James Blackman didn't play. Hannah Pereira. We can just keep rattling all these things off of why Indiana is short of it. Wisconsin's a top-five team. They showed you last night simply because they had layer after layer after layer
yeah.
after layer. Hayes, Kaminsky, Bronson Koenig, Dilly Dukin, or whatever that guy's name is that comes off the bench. They got a guy named Vito Brown that I didn't even know played
That's
for.
That's awesome.
They got Gosser that comes in. But all these guys do is hop right in the system. Zach, whatever his name was, who played AAU ball with Fisher and Bronson mm-hmm. Koenig, he comes in and gives him something. Again, they're deep. They're talented. They can overcome the loss of their starting point guard that drove them, again, to the Final Four last year with all those guys. Indiana's short of talent. Indiana's short of will. Tom Crean told us that in the post game. And, again, when they don't play perfectly offensively on the road, they really struggle. And it's been against the better teams. It hasn't been
sure.
against some of the poorer teams. And that's the gulf in talent. That's the gulf in class right now. And that's where the Hoosiers, again, look how well they played in the first half, and they're down 8.
Yeah,
that's what you got. That's what it is.
Look, it's Wisconsin, and
it
I
is.
Think somebody posted a couple of the writers on Twitter
posted 13 threes and lost the game.
This is since Ken Pom has been doing his thing since 2000 or
right.
whatever. This is the most efficient offense he's ever had in his ratings.
Yep,
it's a very good offensive team. It's not the best defensive team, but it's decent enough. But on the first team probably on the Hoosiers' schedule since they've had these injuries that has truly taken advantage, at least in the Big Ten, of the size advantage on their offensive end on the Hoosiers' defensive end as Decker Hayes and Kaminsky went nuts. We'll talk about the defensive end, how to mask that problem, if that problem will come up much more often down the stretch here for the Hoosiers. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Starting to see this turn into snow, at least on tops of cars and things like that. Still wet on the roads, 33 degrees outside, but again, it's going to get chilly tonight. They're calling for a low of 13, maybe up to an inch of snow. So it'll be slick. It'll be a little gnarly in the late evening and the morning, so just be careful while you're out and about. Quick programming note for you. We have high school basketball returning Friday night as Bloomington South hosts Columbus North, who is missing their star player, Josh Spiedel, who's in an accident, and Columbus North is all of Columbus has rallied around him. They're going to play a basketball game, though, here on Friday night. It's an important game for both teams, and certainly thoughts and prayers out to the Columbus North family and the Spiedel family, hoping Josh gets better very soon. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk is the tip-off for the game, and 7:30 is a tip-off. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk. Whew, get that out of the way. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers lose 92-78. Up in Madison, Wisconsin, certainly at the beginning of the season, a loss on the docket right here is not a surprise. Getting down 30 was not very happy, but when we saw James Blackman out of the game, I'm not sure that's all that surprising either, unfortunately. But let's talk about the defensive end, because 92 points.
That's a lot.
This is a very good Wisconsin team, especially on the offensive end. However, there's no question, first and foremost, they took advantage from the beginning of their advantage inside. 6'8", 6'9", 6'11", or 7 foot, or whatever Kaminsky exactly is, and he's an athlete at that. This is the first team I've seen that's had that kind of effect on the Hoosiers' defense, on the, you know, with their offense. AJ Hammonds on the defensive end was a big factor, but they, I mean, smart as it is, they've got the inside players. They took massive advantage of it. How do you combat that, and how much more often do we have to worry about that particular attack against this small defense?
Well, as you mentioned, Kaminsky's one of a very few, and that's, I guess, the good news there. But I think what people see is, and I harp on this point all the time, it's a lot easier to score from 2 feet than 22 feet, so take your chances at the rim. There's no rim protection. Drive, drive, drive. You got a guy in the post that's got two or three post moves, he's being guarded by two guards. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Yeah. You got Yogi Ferrell bumping you, you got Stan Robinson bumping you, you got Colin Hartman bumping you, and when Troy Williams is down there, you might as well just give them two and go the other way. And it's not a knock on those kids, but they didn't come here to play post defense at Indiana. Right, right. They came here to shoot the basketball. The whole point about last year's team was what? Worst shooting team in the league from three, mm-hmm. one of the worst field goal two teams, and it got every rebound. There's a different way to do it. Every year, it seems like there's something else. You just haven't seen the system, whatever that system is, mm-hmm. whatever the optimum whatever is sold in these homes into recruits about how we're going to play. We've heard everything from fast that we've had to slow down. We've heard from slow to faster, to big to small, to this to that. And yes, injuries are part of the problem. But I think Hannah Perea and James Blackman Jr. don't fix that yesterday. Wisconsin, number one, is too good. They have too many skilled players, and Indiana at that level doesn't. We've seen it twice this year. You saw Louisville, a top five team at the time, and you've seen Wisconsin, a top five team at the time. They have depth, and they have guys that can play. That doesn't matter how tall they are or how small they are, they can play at any 25 feet away from the basket or 2 feet away from the basket. When Nigel Hayes can knock down threes and post you up, that's a great weapon to have. Some of our guys can get to the basket, not real sure in the post, not the greatest jump shooters. Some are great jump shooters and can't get anything going into the lane. Right. There's a difference in talent there, which Indiana has to address moving forward. I get all that. But the defensive end of things, if you can't play zone or man, I don't understand how you switch up in a possession playing zone or man.
Right.
44 points at halftime, 48 points in the second half, right? That's 90. That's how you get to 92. That's the math, and I can't do anything about that. What did Indiana take away? They didn't take away Hayes. They didn't take away Kaminsky. They didn't play a zone where it packed it in and made Kanan hit 15 threes. It's kind of like you're trying a little bit of everything, and nothing's working instead of, again, I'm not second-guessing. I'm just pointing out what didn't happen was, did you ever see Kanan get just knocked off a screen and be like, hey, I'm here.
Right.
Stop it. Kaminsky, hey, you're in the post. You're going to the basket. I'm going to chop you. good. Maybe you think about it next time. Mm-hmm. There's no protection there. Indiana doesn't have a defensive enforcer. They don't have even a guy that you say
they're not a physical
stay
team.
Around. Right. No, and at the Big Ten level, and we talked about this before the year started, when you're going to play a 6'7 guy in the post or a 6'8 guy in the post, mm-hmm. you're going to struggle. And you're going to struggle against better teams. Maybe not against the Rutgers. Maybe not against a Nebraska, a team that's kind of thin as well. But here's what you look at right now. What did you take away from Wisconsin? You didn't take away anything. And your offense was probably as good as it could be in that first half. Shooting the basketball,
right.
There you are, and you're perfect. Not a perfect game, but pretty close, and you're 8 points down at halftime because Decker's 6'9", because Hayes is 6'9". They're going to give everybody a lot of problems. Indiana had problems, Dave, against Rutgers in the first 7 minutes of the half defensively.
Well, who's it blown out? Nobody.
Right.
I mean,
the issue is their offense has to put the pressure on. And you know what? They played some decent defense against Rutgers late. We talked on Monday about this great stat in the last 5 minutes of games, how what Indiana's three-point defensive mm-hmm. numbers are, field goal percentage and overall field goal percentage. But again, those numbers last night in the last 5 minutes didn't mean
well,
a
yeah,
whole
it got them back so in the game. It got them back within spitting
12
distance.
14, and then you're out of gas.
But you were out of 30. It didn't matter.
And that's what it is.
3-3-3-2-6-6-5 is our phone number.
Indiana has to get out and play that perfect offensive game and get something defensively where they can have an 8 to 10 to 12 point lead and make other teams get uncomfortable. What Indiana doesn't do when they don't score and put pressure on other teams, they don't make teams uncomfortable. You didn't see much trapping or pressing until when? You're down 25? I mean, those are things that just
They've used the trap pretty infrequently. Let me ask you this, because I know a lot of people are asking this. You've got two big guys on the bench that never get off, and you've got
Jeremiah
one in particular.
April.
You've got one in particular that does get off the bench, but he plays 13 minutes, and that's Emmett Holt. Why not go to the bigger lineup in this case if you're getting beat inside so much? Is it attempting so much to try to outrun them on the offensive end?
Yeah, it has to be because those guys aren't your best scoring options. And Emmett Holt's post moves against 6'9 Sam Decker, 7 foot Frank Kaminsky, and 6'9 Nigel Hayes, a freshman going against three seasoned, really good players. I don't know how much that helps. So are you playing 4-on-5 on offense with him in the lineup? Is that the thought process there? But you need some kind of rim protection at some point. And here's the thing: when Indiana was playing Michigan State, we're down 50-20, right? Michigan State's not 6'9", 7 foot,
right?
You know, Dawson's 6'7,
yeah.
Costello's 6'9, maybe I'll give him 6'10.
Costello and the other kid,
Gavin Schilling 6'8", 6'9, and Schilling's a freshman, and Costello's a guy that plays bit roles. But what the Hoosiers are defensively, you think when the season goes on, you think it's going to snap out and they're all of a sudden going to start doing that. Or they held Rutgers to this many or whatever else. But look at what they held Purdue to. 83. They held Wisconsin to 92. I mean, those are numbers as good as offensively Indiana is. You have to play perfect to beat those teams on the road to do so. And that's putting the pressure on. They knew James Blackman wasn't going to play. Tom Crean told you that after the game last night. He said he hurt his ankle in the Rutgers game, did not practice Sunday, did not practice Monday, tried to give it a go on Tuesday. So, again, that wasn't any that
no, no,
plan
no. They,
around
that. They didn't
that.
Announce anything until
exactly.
right before tip-off.
So, again, is it the zone? I think, Dave, there's a lot of not very talented individual defenders, and I think team defensively it breaks down because how many times did Dan Dockage stop it, circle it, and say there's two guys, that guy's open, why isn't this guy communicating, that guy there, where's the rotation, where's the shift, how many times the guys go down the lane and we got a back turned and they're going in to lay the ball, and that's been happening all year long. And right now Indiana has found their best recipe with the talent they have is scoring the basketball and putting pressure on teams offensively to win games.
3-3-3-2-6-6-5 is our phone number. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about the defense. They've been throwing a lot of 2-3 zone out there here recently. But what I see about it, look, you think 2-3 zone and you compare it to Syracuse.
I'm not trying to put them, but
the structure, I mean, the way it plays, the way the people react to it. When Syracuse plays a zone, they sit in a formation, it looks like to me.
And practice it 90 hours a week.
But what you see out of the Hoosiers, and I'm just asking this because I don't know that I understand it, or maybe it's just a different type of 2-3 zone. They are literally matching up at every position with somebody and moving themselves out of that 2-3 zone structure. structure that I'm used to seeing out of a traditional 2-3. And they are literally matching up. You see Colin Hartman will go forward to the free throw line on a guy, and you'll watch Troy Williams from the side come all the way underneath and follow a guy underneath. Now, I understand you don't want to let these guys free roaming, but, I mean, is that part of what they want to do? Is that an issue, a bad issue, or a good issue?
It's part of it's a philosophy, and part of it is Wisconsin has guys that can knock down all those shots from those spots. So when you talk about getting in gaps of the zone, obviously the free throw line is a great place. Kaminsky catches.
They don't want to let him catch it and then react. They want to try to keep the ball out.
Exactly. And what you do to beat a zone is you overload a side. So if you have two defenders, you want three offensive guys over there. And if all three of them can shoot, it's 3-on-2.
Right.
So you're always looking to find those numbers. The interesting thing is, how many times did you see last night Yogi Ferrell on the baseline of the zone, and there's Decker getting a rebound at the buzzer, or there he is having to guard Kaminsky on a ball rotation or a swing. So everything that's been thrown out there, it just, again, against better teams, hasn't really been working. You've seen it. It works kind of at home when you get the crowd fired up, because you get a couple steals, you get going the right direction. And again, until this team finds maturity level, it's going to struggle against really good teams. And don't forget, Bo Ryan's a really good coach.
Sure.
And Tom Izzo's a really good coach. And to see what they put out there after watching film of this, Wisconsin didn't settle for about – and it's not absolute because it never is. They shot jumpers late in the shot clock that were contested, and everything else had – they were patient enough to get their shot, knowing that if you moved it around to that side of the zone where Yogi's on the baseline, well, he's got to make some decisions, it's tough.
Let's be fair about this. This is on the road against the most efficient offense in the Big Ten and
nationwide. I understand all of that.
It's the worst matchup possible.
But just like Tom Crane said, Indiana's not in the business to salvage damage control. You're in the business to win league championships.
The effort was not good enough. There's no question.
And you saw it in 2000, whatever, with Cody and Watford and those guys and Hulls. You have to win games on the road in the Big Ten. You got to be big teams on the road if you want to be a big-time team. And isn't the first goal every year to win the Big Ten regular season championship? It has to be.
No, it's
Indiana.
To go to the Final Four, according to most people.
Well, and
we got to take a quick break.
That's an easy one looking at this team.
3-3-3.
Can it get a matchup?
2665 is our phone number.
Sure could.
There were a couple runs in the Hoosiers' favor. We'll try to figure out what they did in those that can help them down the road when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with David Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball. They lose 92-78 up at Wisconsin, down about 30. I think it was 29, actually.
32. 76-44.
Was it 32? All right. I knew it was somewhere in that neighborhood.
10:32 to go, I believe, Joe told me this morning.
Yeah, 10:40 it's showing. Before we go much farther, 333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
I got a question for both of you.
Okay.
And there's not any real right answer. I just want your opinion because I'm curious, because I think you guys are pretty smart when it comes to this stuff. You talk about all the time the problems this team has, because it's a seriously flawed team. Even with a healthy Perea, you know he's not going to bring it every game, and they have a serious size problem. But defensively is the big problem, and it's mainly just staying in front of guys. And that's been a habitual problem, especially in the Big Ten. So my question to you is, do you think these guys, or for whatever reason, has tuned out Tom Crean and just don't listen? Because, I mean, they have the same problem starting games or starting halves all the time. And you know they've seen enough film. They know what they need to be doing. They're coached. I know Tom Crean's not telling them to play like a maitre d' and let this guy get that. Bronson Koenig should not get to the basket that easily against a guy like Robert Johnson or any of the perimeter people for Indiana. So do you think that they tuned Tom Crean out?
I don't think they tune him out. I think they look around and see, well, who's he going to put in for me? You know what? If guys that have John, you don't get to college playing defense. You know that. Robert Johnson has scored his whole career. Stan Robinson scored his whole career. James Blackman has scored his whole career. Colin Hartman shot it for Cathedral his whole career. Those guys never had to be pressured to play any kind of defense because that's how you get to college. But once you get to college, the depth right now, Tom Crean said what? Last year, was it the year before? I think it was the year before when they had the really good season. Hey, the bench is my new best friend, because when a guy isn't doing what I need him to do, I can sit him down because we have depth in numbers. But this year, I don't think that's the case because of, obviously, last night with injuries or whatever else. I just think that looking at the talent, the offensive talent by the numbers put up has been shown, and I think against really good teams you've seen the defensive frailties, and they don't have a stopper type guy that you just throw out there, and then that guy's the menace on defense. A guy would get 30 minutes a game if he could, because you don't need five guys to shoot it. Is that a product of recruiting? I think it may be. I think they were I think they thought they had some pieces in place that maybe were going pro, weren't going pro, whatever the situation was, but you haven't seen to this day a guy that you bring out, and Robert Johnson's tried to be that guy, but you've even seen his shortcomings where it's just not happening. And to see it totally and through multiple games, they have spurts where they're good. So I don't think you saw the end of the Illinois game was pretty good, the end of the Rutgers, but those are teams you should be kind of playing good against if you're Indiana. So I think you're right. I don't think there is a right answer to it, but I think the culture of playing defense at IU maybe needs some help.
I don't think they've tuned them out, John. I think there's a couple things going on. First of all, I don't think you've got a bunch of great, and Glass said this, and we've said this all year long, there's not a great collection of great individual defenders to start with. You've got that. You've got a couple guys, quite honestly, that are not the best athletes in the world. I mean, Nick Zeisloft does not have the fastest feet in the world to be staying in front of anybody. You've got a couple people that I think lack confidence very easily. Troy Williams and Stan Robinson, to me, really lack confidence at times. Troy's been able to break through it, but Stan hasn't.
And you've seen Hannah Perea wanting to take more charges than block shots.
And here's the thing. I don't think Hannah Perea walks in the door and solves all our defensive issues, but having a big 6'9 guy back there that can erase a couple mistakes up front, I think would certainly help this team. This team did not have Perea starting with the Penn State game, won that game, went to Illinois, won that game. Maryland just outscored Maryland. And then they gave up 82 to Ohio State, 83 to Purdue, beat Rutgers at home, and gave up 92 to Wisconsin. They gave up 70 at Michigan State in a game they were getting their doors blown off that Perea played in.
50-20.
And he didn't play that much in that one. What's the difference between that and the Nebraska game and the Ohio State game when you're in the 60s and at 70? And these games is, to me, the big hole in the middle because, again, a guy who can at least erase a potential mistake or make it more difficult on the guy to finish.
And Wisconsin, who was known as a great defensive program for years under Dick Bennett, and even when Ryan started there, remember those teams would always go to the Elite Eight and they could never get over the hump?
It was only 3 or 4 years ago this was a great defensive team.
They couldn't score? Well, if you can find guys that can do both, I think that helps. And right now, I think Indiana has a bunch of role players, both offensively, that fit a certain round peg in a round hole, but the defensive peg is squared, and you can't, as much as you want to bang them into that hole, it's not happening.
Well, here's the thing, two things that bother me. One is, when they played Louisville, Chris Jones and Terry Rozier, who are good guards but not great guards, they got 50 points between them.
Both career highs, by the way.
And Indiana's guard defensive play made them look like Isaiah Thomas and Deron Williams.
We talked about it then, John. What bothered me then is I didn't think Yogi was engaged enough defensively to keep people in front of him. And James Blackman, to me, was not engaged at all on the defensive end at that time.
No, he never has been.
And the reason I don't think they've tuned him out is I think they are becoming more engaged. And you can see them out there pointing at each other and trying to talk and things like that, and now they're over-helping. So that's why I don't think they've tuned them out, but it's such a work in progress because they're not any good at it.
I can see the tune out from this phase. Hey, are we in man? Are we in zone? Why are we switching
what
the middle
the
possession?
Yeah.
We're giving up 83, 82, 9. Why are we switching defense?
It's clear
in the
they're confused at times.
Right, and it's not working because if it was working, you wouldn't give up that many points.
Yeah.
Right.
And how well have they rebounded? Tell me how good they've rebounded the last 2 or 3 weeks. They've been fine.
Yeah.
They've been fine. So it's not they're getting killed out of position. They're too. You're asking them to do things I don't think they're comfortable doing, and it's not stopping anything. And the other problem that doesn't help this at all, and I'm picking on the kid, but you know why? If you're going to be a big time player, you better be able to take a little bit of criticism. Troy Williams he is the best athlete on the team. Mm-hmm. There's not even a third place competition. Blackman's probably second. Williams has the reach, the speed, the burst, the acceleration,
yep.
And he doesn't guard anybody.
Right.
Yeah. That kills you because he's 6'7", and he doesn't grab 9 rebounds a game just because he's in there. He wants to get out on the break. He wants to do this. Those are things that 19-year-old kids have to learn to do, and that's why Hartman got these minutes to start with because he blocked guys out. Because he was in position.
That's right.
But you saw him last night. again, they watch the tape. These coaches have 19 guys on staff that break down this film and say, hey, when you put him here, he gets confused on that. And he, you can fill in all nine names that Indiana plays. And they just beat on you and get you in situations where do we go here or go there? Are we in man? Are we in zone? How many times you see him raise their hand coming down the court? Mm-hmm. Two guys run to spots, two guys run to man, and the guy with the ball goes right down the lane and lays it in.
Right.
If you're switching up defenses to try and cover it, it hasn't worked against better teams. So I think simplifying it would help. But again, you need better players, and Wisconsin showed you that last night.
Troy Williams is the same age and the same class as the two Harrison twins at Kentucky. I saw them play AU basketball a lot. They couldn't guard you and me. I'm serious about it.
They
had absolutely no interest and no desire to play defense. Now you watch them; they're totally engaged.
And you know what? Last year when you had Noah Vonleh back there, teams weren't like, hey, let's just bust him off the dribble and go. You had a guy back there that had a presence with the long arms. We hear about long arms all the time. And Vonleh grabbed 9 rebounds rolling out of bed. You know why the Harrison twins still don't play any defense? Willie Cauley-Stein, Carl Towns, Trey Lyles, Anthony Lee.
They're playing defense now. You watch them play. They're both engaged in that.
I mean, they may not
be great, but they're good. And you've just
made the point. Why? Because Calipari has other guys he can say, go sit down. Devin Booker's playing. Go sit down. This guy's going to play. That guy's going to play. And they do. They have competition at positions. And
a couple years ago, they missed the NCAAs and lost the first round of the NIT on the road to Robert Morris because nobody cared.
Right.
So, I mean, there's certainly a little bit of that.
But, John, I think you're right. There is the right answer would be you've got to get better players and you have to have more of them because Wisconsin shows you that. Louisville showed you that. Kentucky shows you that. If you want to be in that style of a conversation, you've got to have some guys who can do it. Shannon Scott is not playing for 4 straight years at Ohio State because he can score the basketball.
Because of shooting. Exactly.
He can play. There's other guys. You have balance. Aaron Kraft was probably the worst shooting guard in the league in some time, but he was a winner because he played defense and helped you in other ways.
Robert Johnson is arguably our best defender as a true freshman, and he has lapses. There's no question about
it.
But he buys into it. I mean, he does. He buys into it, and he's not a shutdown guy at this point, but he buys into it. He's usually in the right spots, and unfortunately, you're not seeing that out of certain guys. The thing I wonder, and I'll ask both of you guys this exact question also, we've talked about this too. This is an offensive basketball team, and Tom Crean has obviously said to this team, we got to get up and down the court. You see him wave his arms, get up, go. This team is wanting to score 90 points a night as the way to defend. And you mentioned the end of the Rutgers game. At the end of the Rutgers game, Rutgers' legs started going out from under him because they've been running with us all night long. So it seems to me that running is the closest thing he's got to a defense right now.
Front running. That's the way to do it. Get out
and make them chase you. Yeah, that's what happened to Maryland, too. I mean, Maryland was scoring fine, but they just found their legs got wobbly at the end, and Indiana hit shot after shot after shot, especially from three-point range, and that's the way I think they do it.
And the question is that a stupid strategy for on a regular every year basis, or is it mostly because this team has to play that way?
It's because this team has to play this way, and it's hope that's this way, Dave. That's hope, and that's just this year only. Because if it's a habitual thing,
who's coming in next year?
I don't know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. That's the $64,000 question.
You've got what, 2-6-7 guys,
and you're recruiting a guy who's a McDonald's All-American who I don't know if you have a real chance to get or not. I don't know.
East.
But they're still recruiting him, and he's still got Indiana on his list. So I don't know how serious that is or not. But they better have some size that can play because, like you said before, as you alluded to, you got two big guys on the bench that never get off. They do the same thing you and I do, except that they're wearing uniforms, but they don't have to pay for a ticket.
And it's amazing.
Everything about those two guys you can possibly do.
Right.
You want to charge them for the seat?
It's amazing.
I like charging for their scholarships, what I'd like to do, because I think they're still on a scholarship.
It's amazing in a 32-point game on the road when you're getting it to you that they can't even come in and get them, bleed them some minutes because they've already played enough where they can't redshirt.
That tells you everything you need to know about what they think those guys can do.
Absolutely.
That's right. No. And
They see it during practice. They see it during practice. No. They know what they've
done. And the tough thing fans can't handle is Ryan Burton. Tough things fans can't handle is Colin Hartman has a couple bad games after a couple good games. You got to keep this stuff in perspective. There's a reason why this is all happening.
Well, I thought this team right now would be 4-6 at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with the way they are. It's just that when they get beat like this, even by a team as good as Wisconsin, which is probably a Final Four team, you still just don't like doing it. The way it happened is the thing that you don't ever anticipate when you're doping out a season. When you look at, oh, we're going to win this game, lose this game. You don't look at getting beat by Michigan State, an average Michigan State beat team by 20 points on the road.
There don't seem to be a,
killed by this team.
There don't seem to be a lot of college basketball fans that can understand the idea of trying to outscore somebody as your best option.
Fan is short for fanatic.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they do. They all see, like, come on, let's just bang them to death and be the scrappy guys that think, get in your face.
But I think what college fans can see is, you know what, this is such an inconsistent way of doing it.
They want to see a plan.
Well, you know what?
They want to see a plan.
It's certainly streaky. I mean, there's no question.
And there's no Hoosier fan that says, you know what, let's go count up the wins at the end of the year and see who they're against. They want to see how many wins you have, and if you don't beat teams like Michigan State and Wisconsin, you're not going to win anything during the regular season.
What did this team do twice yesterday? When it was down 9-0, when it was down 76-42,
hardly,
or whatever you said it was.
Hardly,
I understand that, but my point with that was there are 4 to 5 minute breaks in there where they held Wisconsin to 2 points.
Sure.
5 minutes at the end of
if
the
you're
game,
quitting at
they're
9-0
down 32.
To open the game, you're
I'm
done.
Asking you what they
you're
did
done.
In that period of time.
They
though.
Made shots.
They
that
made
shot.
No, they no, made Wisconsin shots. Didn't, though, is the point.
And they made shots.
Wisconsin scored 4 points in those 5 minutes.
The
how
first,
does that happen?
The first 4 minutes of the game, Wisconsin went layup, three,
I understand
layup.
That. But did Indiana change anything and do anything right so that Wisconsin suddenly isn't scoring?
Obviously
because that's
not.
The opposite
because
side. I'm not talking about getting scoring
they
the 11
did
to get back.
Anything right, and they what didn't happen was it didn't continue, and that's the problem with this team. They get down in a 21-2 run at Illinois, but to have enough offense to come back and shoot themselves out of it, they make a ton of threes. Yeah, the team's spurty. We've said that. They play defense in portions, but again, this isn't a team that's set up to defend. The post defense isn't there. The
really
pressure on the perimeter
team.
Is not there. They're a flawed team, and you know what? On their night, they made 13 three-pointers on the road and lost. They made 15 three-pointers at home and won by 100. I mean, that's kind of
big difference between Wisconsin and Maryland. Though.
Somewhere in there, and then there's a big difference between on the road and at home as well. John, good job as always,
number
brother.
Three, Wisconsin and Bloomington last year with a more flawed team.
Exactly so, right. So it's again, yeah. It's an imperfect game, and we want it to be perfect. And when teams have seniors and juniors, and you're throwing out their freshmen and sophomore, you're young. That's what happens with the young guys. They don't play at the level those guys do.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note again, we've got high school basketball Friday night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip-off as Bloomington South brings Columbus North to town. That's Friday night here on WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number talking IU basketball. Let's bring in Jay. How you doing, Jay?
Wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Well, if you guys looked out the window and looked at Mr. Glasscott's rain puddle, you'll see snow hitting it.
Oh, that's my gosh.
Yeah,
look at it on top of the
cover.
Cars.
Yeah.
All right.
Wonderful.
Bring a shovel. All right.
Yeah. Wonderful. Temperature dropping, so be careful out there.
That
people.
Is the Taco Bell weather puddle if you're scoring. Oh, everybody drink? All right.
Nice. What's on your mind, Jay?
Well, you know, just when you think this team was starting to create an identity defensively, it just falls apart. I mean, they couldn't stop anything last night. Granted, I understand Kaminsky's the possible national player of the year and things such as that, but it's mind-boggling. The substitutions are mind-boggling. I understand the kid's a freshman, but you know Hartman's scoring for you, the only kid who's scoring on the floor for you. You pull him out of the game 4 minutes into it. I mean, I understand he wants to create a rotation and this and that, but shoot, if something's working, run with it. You know,
especially
guy,
up there.
I mean, if he's putting his hand up saying, hey, I got to come out, I'm dead, I'm tired, I understand. But if you're just pulling the guy out to do a rotation deal, it makes
I don't think there's any rotation involved in it, because if it were, you'd see people subbed at similar times. Now, given the obvious of foul trouble or injury or that sort of thing, my opinion is he pulls guys out that he sees are fatigued. He wants to run. He wants them to give everything they can running with the ball. And if they aren't, then he's going to take them out. And did Colin Hartman ask to get taken out there? I have no idea. I have no idea. I have seen it in past years. I mean, I've seen Cody Zeller run up and down the floor three straight times and ask to be taken out of the game. People don't like it. I get that. I don't think it's a rotation situation. I don't think his mind is set up at all. I think he's saying this is a situation where I want this guy later, and right now he's gassed. I want to give him a couple minutes. He loves to take out a guy at the 13.5-minute mark and give him to the TV timeout and bring him in afterwards. He does that every single game with at least one guy, both halves.
The other side of that is why you're leaving him in 32-point blowouts. It's both ways.
Structure makes absolutely no sense to me. He's up by 1 point with 2 minutes left in the game. He has all five timeouts, and he doesn't take them to set up an offensive play because he's just going to let it play out.
Who? Who Kareem. Does that?
Coach Kareem.
Oh, no, he always calls a timeout in the last minute of the game.
It's almost like always. He is in his always. Contract to get a bonus. You know, if he shows that he only used X number of timeouts throughout the season, then he gets more money.
About the chairs there, because old Coach Knight used to take a lot of timeouts with him to the other side.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, look, you want your timeouts at the end of the game. Wouldn't Pete Carroll love to have those three timeouts with second and goal on the 1 yard line?
And he had one of them.
But you don't get to carry them over.
But don't forget too,
half.
When you're attacking
in the first half of the game and you're down.
Oh yeah, you carry
9-0, and he just lets it play out.
There's one of them you don't carry over, and he uses that religiously in the
Everybody
first half.
Does. Every coach does.
Religiously in the last.
Ryan
minute.
Called it last night with 8.8 seconds left. That was part of it. Jay, we got to run, buddy. Enjoy the snow. We'll get caught up with you next week. And the Hoosiers have Michigan on Sunday. Michigan, again, no backcourt for them. Both those kids are out for the year. That's never any
home
any
game.
Fun to deal with. It's a home game, and that should be Michigan's problem, just like it was our problem on the road
exactly.
last night.
And the Hoosiers beat teams at home, it would seem. So we certainly hope that continues.
Yep. And
how important is their defensive effort in this particular game?
If they score more than Michigan, it won't matter. That's how it works. And Indiana's offense will field all that pressure because, again, you've seen teams that have pounded it inside and got some layups. You've seen teams like Rutgers. I mean, the Mac kid or the Jack kid, I get him confused. Right. Who's the only guy that's going to shoot a jumper out there? They let him hit four or five or six threes. You knew it was coming and you still couldn't get to him, whether it was man zone or anything else. So they live dangerously. And at home, you get a little bit of a bonus because it seems to go in a little bit more. The crowd's obviously behind you. 1 o'clock on a Sunday will be a hot crowd. They haven't had problem with John Beilein over the years. That hadn't been the issue. That team plays very similar to Indiana. They don't get after it defensively. They don't force turnovers. Neither team's going to foul. Neither team's going to go to the foul line. Indiana's first free throw of the game last night, 14-52 in the second half. And again, those are recipes when things don't go well. You make 13 threes on the road and you're down 32.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. So what do? You get back to the foul line. You get back to keeping guys in front of you. You get back to transition defense, beating guys down the court so they don't have easy buckets. It's the baby steps to get to that part. It's not going to be a transformation overnight. It's never going to work that
Hoosiers
way. Hoosiers win. Yeah, they should beat Michigan. If they're going to, again, to stay in the Big Ten race. If not, they're going to be tied with Purdue, Ohio State.
They win at home, and this team has done a better job of that than last year's team at least did. All right, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll congratulate Coach Wilson and his recruiting class. Didn't get a chance to talk about them.
Yeah, good
stuff.
We've
got a lot of time and another good class brought in. So building even further foundation for the football team. We will talk to you Monday, folks. You've been in the zone.